Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
What is going on? Good morning. Happy Monday. What a weekend of football. Woo! Cannot wait for Super Bowl 55. Mahomes, Brady. Man, we got a lot to talk about. By the way, hello. Thanks for being here. Hope you had a good weekend. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Phone number here on the program, 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. To Bryce, to Jason, to Steve, to anyone that didn't reach out but decided to ride with me on the gambling picks, don't thank me. We're in this together. We're in this together, baby. Man, the Bucks felt like such a sure thing. It really did. What a football game. Really, both of them. And we are going to dive into every aspect of the AFC and NFC championship games. Mahomes versus Brady, as people have noted out there correctly, LeBron versus Jordan is going to be remarkable. We'll get into Aaron Rodgers. I'm of a different perspective on A-Rod than I think a lot of folks out there. I think there is ample blame to go around for the Packers quarterback, and I think that is connected to his comments, strangely timed if you don't put it in the right perspective, that who knows what the future holds. We'll talk at great length about Aaron Rodgers' future. We'll get into the big... It's hard to pick the biggest loser. It really is from the weekend. Is it the Buffalo Bills organization that saw, and classless is probably too strong, but certainly saw a lot of emotion, championship-level immaturity bubble over? I get it, frustration at the end of the game. I think that says something. Josh Allen throwing a football at an opponent and everything that followed about that team not being ready yet. And I do subscribe to the notion that most would-be champions, Mahomes is an exception, have to climb the mountain and learn the process. But the mountain, it bites back sometimes. I'm not sure the Bills showed enough for me in how they lost, not that they lost, that they're going to return with ease to that level or beyond next year. Biggest loser could be Bill Belichick. Could be Aaron Rodgers. Could be Matt LaFleur. Could be the whole AFC West. We'll hit that later in the program. I got to tell you, and it is a little bit of patent myself on the back here, but I still think it's the right perspective. It felt like the right perspective last week and on Friday, and it does today as well. There are a lot of things that were interesting and are interesting about that NFC Championship game, about a Tampa Bay Buccaneers organization that had not had a lot of success for a good chunk of time, who bring in an aged, he is, Tom Brady, and who not that long ago, by the way, were 7-5. Don't forget. This was a team that was 7-5 this year. And that, I think, is part of the reason, despite all the things, again, beforehand that you could look at, that you could try to figure out, that you could try to analyze. Everybody went with the Packers. I mean, everybody went with the Packers. Vegas loved the Packers. Every friend I has loved the Packers. The guys on the show love the Packers. Over at my former shop, Fox Sports, I think they had 10 predictions. Only Carissa Thompson took the Bucks. Good job, CT. And to me, it just seemed clear and obvious. Sometimes we outthink things. that Tom Brady wins these games. And this is the big one. Aaron Rodgers doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't. Tom Brady has now won as many NFC championships as Aaron Rodgers. And as the executive producer of the show, Tom DiBenedetto, producer underscore Tom, I'm on there as well, sports writer, sports my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. As Tom pointed out, which I even thought of this, Tom Brady has now won more NFC championship games at Lambeau Field than Aaron Rodgers. We'll get into all the reasons for that. I'm a big believer, as it relates to sports, in the Mark Twain quote, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Even though I think they can have some value, I think they also can lie to you and mislead you. Don't look at the box score in that NFC championship game. Doesn't tell the tale. If you're one of those dudes who doesn't watch the games, right, but likes to pretend he did at the office, I guess no one's at the office, you like to on the Zoom call, don't go to the box score for your insight. Aaron Rodgers, 33 of 48, almost 350 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception versus Brady, 20 of 36, not as efficient. 280 yards, a lot fewer yards. 3 touchdowns, but 3 picks. Brady was better. He was better, period. Full stop. In the moments that mattered, in the nuances of a chess match, any playoff game, but particularly one that leads to a Super Bowl, is more of a chess match than any other football game over the course of a year. In the sense that it's not just what you do, it's when you do it, how you do it, and how you anticipate the reality, the moves, the opportunities, and the limitations you can place upon your opponent. Aaron Rodgers, at the end of that first half, with very little time on the clock, wanted to move the ball, wanted to have success, but the priority, the goal in this chess match is not to give the ball, at the end of the first half, back to the greatest QB of all time. Don't do it. Takes a bad sack, throws a pick, very little time left, and then Brady with a bomb down the left side of the field for a dagger in the heart of that Packers team. I was on a chat exchange with 3 cousins of mine who I love, who don't love me right now, who are Packers fans. And the reason I did it is because the oldest one is, they're all from Milwaukee, Waukesha. The oldest cousin, he's a Packers fan who is a Tom Brady fan. For a lifetime said you can't do that. But you get a little social, like, hey, who are you rooting for? And the youngest one, Z-Dog, wanted to, you know, you like Kyrie. Kyrie was right. All right, bro. You sure you want to go down this path? That's how confident every Packers fan was. Every pundit, the Packers were going to win. And about 90 seconds after the young cousin wanted to talk a little smack, what felt like, not inevitable, but likely, took place. Aaron Rodgers made a mistake, because that's what he does in these moments sometimes. Or doesn't capitalize. In this case, the inability to capitalize came in the form of a mistake. And Tom Brady did what he does, which he finds ways to win, even when the stats don't show the tail. And that's just the first half. 3 times in the fourth quarter, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers got the ball. 0 times did they score. Look, we can talk at length about LaFleur's decision not to go for it on 4th and goal. To kick a field goal while down 8. It was nonsensical. It was abhorrently, incompetence the wrong word, but wrongheaded. And please, for the love of all that is holy, and even those things that aren't, do not throw to me, well, you know, analytics, the sabermetrics say. No, actually, that's not accurate. 4 different analytical, deep dive, mathematical approaches that I saw last night, late, 4 different approaches. 2 had the advantage going for it on 4th down. 1 had the advantage kicking the field goal. And 1 was basically a net even. And those, as I understood the math, because I'm not good at math, those did not take into account, you know, the fact that you've got Aaron Rodgers and they've got Tom freaking Brady. And don't give me the officials thing. It was a I don't know about it was pass interference at the end of the game. It was. If your argument that you should have won the game is that it wasn't pass interference when you never should have given them the ball back, stop. And what's amazing about that, by the way, is in theory, Aaron Rodgers is the most capable quarterback in the National Football League. In theory, still playing football yesterday in terms of the ability to capitalize in that moment. He's going to be the MVP. You have to let your most valuable player obviously do it. I'm not defending LaFleur. There's a lot of blame to go around, and the head coach shares a ton of it. Second consecutive NFC Championship game in which his play calling, his tactical decision-making, his game planning wasn't very good. It wasn't. But I think that you have to see the Packers debacle in the same full context that I think a lot of folks missed with the Bucs going to the game. The full context of that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team was this. Tom Brady wins these games a lot more than he loses them. The Bucs were what you always need to be, often to win a Super Bowl, a team of momentum, a team that was 7-5 and figured it out. They were a more talented roster, and they were playing a remarkable quarterback in Aaron Rodgers who'd only made a single Super Bowl. It doesn't matter to me that the Packers are at home. And a lot of times, and there's a few reasons. One, Lambeau's not stuffed to the gills with fans. That takes off whatever impact you think it's going to have. And I do think weather can be a significant reality. If it was Drew Brees going into Lambeau, absolutely, Lambeau's significant. The 28-degree weather is significant. If it's Jared Goff going into Lambeau, you got me. I mean, Tom Brady has spent 20 years playing at Foxborough. Have you been? I've been to Foxborough, and I've been to Green Bay. They're cold, man. They share that in common. Rodgers and Brady are both California quarterbacks from the general northern part of California who learned how to win at the professional level in the cold. There was no significant advantage at Lambeau. And we need to now see the broader context for what happened to the Packers. Aaron Rodgers had the football three times and couldn't capitalize. He was playing the greatest QB of all time. He threw a pick that led to seven. And that inability to capitalize, to get it done, to be the man, to rise to the occasion, put pressure on his head coach that his coach couldn't handle. It's both their faults. It's all their faults. And Tom Brady on the other side of things is just amazing. I said this last week. I don't even like Tom Brady. My wife, I guess, I didn't know this before the game because the kids were really excited. My kids don't follow sports per se, but they could feel the energy. And Harry goes, "Is this a Super Bowl? Is this why we're so excited?" I go, "No, it just feels like one, doesn't it? It does." And we sat down, and my kids always ask who I'm rooting for. It's usually like, what color jersey, right? I'm like, "Well, I'm gonna root for the Bucks." And Lori turns to me and goes, "You're going to root for Tom Brady's team?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "I hate Tom Brady. He's the worst." I'm like, "I didn't even know you hated Tom Brady." She goes, "How could you do this?" I go, "I have money on the Bucks." And then we all root for the Bucks together. Tom Brady wins these games. There's something about him. And talking on Fox to Tom Rinaldi, isn't it weird to say Tom Rinaldi on Fox? Good hire, Fox. Bruce Arians, who's now going to the Super Bowl with Tom Brady as his quarterback, I thought gave, again, sometimes just the obvious answer that is the most important answer, what it meant for the GOAT to head to Tampa Bay.
"You wanted number 12 to come down and become a part of this mission and this group, Bruce. How do you describe what he has meant to make this moment a reality?"
This trophy, the belief he gave everybody on this organization that this could be done. It only took one man.
10 Super Bowl appearances is stupid. It's stupid. Our friend Seth Wickersham had a tweet yesterday. ESPN, NFL guru writer, friend of mine from college, that pointed out that Tom Brady has played in just about, I think it's 23% of Super Bowls since he was born. Since he was born! Breaking news, 5-year-olds can't play in the Super Bowl. He's the greatest to ever do it. Come what may, and that's part of what makes this matchup so remarkable. Tom was the first one to bring this to my attention. I've seen it since, and I should have thought of it myself, but I didn't. It really is LeBron versus Jordan. If they had been able somehow to compete when Jordan was still the catalyst to championship greatness and LeBron had become a champion and was just beginning his journey. I don't know where Mahomes' career arc is going to end. I don't know where Brady's is going to end. We got a better idea, right? We have better range. But that these guys are going to play each other, that their teams are going to play each other. Hey, man, I ain't saying that sports is everything in what's been a tough year, but it's more than something. It's a joyous distraction and a hell of a lot of fun. And at least as a matchup on paper, storylines, coaches, the joy of what's going to happen, with all respect to some pretty amazing Super Bowls, I don't think I've looked forward to one as much as I'm looking forward to this one. What a game. What a showdown. Look, no Eric Fisher for the Chiefs is going to be significant. And give that Bucs defense credit. I'm not trying to take anything away from that Bucs defense. They got to Aaron Rodgers. They harassed him, hurried him, knocked him down, or sacked him under duress 22 times yesterday. That's the most ever in Aaron Rodgers' postseason career. And what's going to be interesting, and that's why I think the Chiefs are going to win that game, Aaron Rodgers couldn't handle it. I don't care if he threw for 350 yards and three touchdowns. I don't care. He didn't get it done when he had to. I think Mahomes can. All right. Anything you want to hit, I got a bunch I want to talk. I want to break down all these games. I want to get into all the lessons for all four teams. I want to dive into A-Rod specifically, but phone lines are ringing and we got you covered. You want to call us, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS. Just one, it is, as Andrew Bogus pointed out in his weekly memo on how to fix the show to me, it is Braggadocio Monday. And I called it. Called the Bucks straight up. I called the Chiefs straight up. A lot of times it feels like luck. Buddy of mine, Reed Forgrave, faded me on my bets. And I told him I'm going to lose. And he called me after, how did you know? And I said, how did you not? It's Tom Brady, man. It's Patrick Mahomes. History has a tendency to repeat itself. We get so obsessed with the sexy new thing or what we want. We love as human beings storylines, the what can be, what's the ending going to be, what's the never, never land, that we get bored with the present. And the present reality is this. Mahomes is the best quarterback on earth right now. Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the history of the game. And they were destined. They were bound. Not destined. They were going to win these games because they're better at that than other players. Period. 855-212-4CBS. All right, we'll take some calls on Rider Than You. We got an entire NFL show lined up for you. We'll keep it rolling next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Rider Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Happy Monday. I think if you're a Packers fan, it's a harder Monday than if you're a Bills fan. I think if you're a Bills fan, you can squint your eyes. Maybe don't just squint them that much. And you can see what you want to see. I'm of a mixed belief on the Bills right now. I think sometimes the obvious is the obvious, and we miss it. And the Bills' reaction, the immaturity, the losing your cool, that isn't in a vacuum. That didn't just happen. That spoke to an uncertainty, a kind of chaos, what has to be a calm in the storm if you want to make and win a Super Bowl that team obviously exhibited over the course of that game. You can conduct yourself that way. It just very rarely translates to success. And yet, Josh Allen is young. It made sense. It's why I thought the Chiefs were a sure thing, too, that he was going to have a regression in the sense that Allen has had to, and we talked about this Friday, just seems so obvious in hindsight. Allen has had to carry that team when the defense hasn't held up, and that hasn't always been true. And no defense can stop the Chiefs, and when the Bills have had weaknesses, it's often been the pass defense. Like, in what universe did anyone think the Chiefs weren't going to score on an off night 28 to 35 points? And by the way, one of the touchdowns, as you know, that the Chiefs gave away was a giveaway from Hardman, just dropping that. They went down 10-0, and one of the guys, Bryce, who decided to ride with my bets because I've been on a bit of a roll, what am I, 9-3, I think, something like that so far in the NFL playoffs, he parlayed my Bucks suggestion and my Chiefs suggestion, and he teased the Chiefs to 7.5 to try to get to a point where he can make a bunch of money, and he freaked out, 10-0. I'm like, 9-0. Bro, it's fine. They're going to win by 15-21. Because Allen was not going to be able to carry a team, most likely, in an AFC Championship game. It's a process. It's not like the Chiefs have the best defense. It's not like they were the Bucs pass rush yesterday. They were fine. The Chiefs defense was good. Allen wasn't up to that moment, which is part of the process. And we know, of course, that Mahomes was. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Be a lot of Tom Brady talk over the next few weeks. Let's hit some phone calls. If you want to join the conversation, 855-212-4CBS. Gary in Jacksonville. What up, dude? Happy Monday. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Bill. Same to you. It's almost as if Tom Brady gave up his soul in these games to the devil. The way that he seems to pull out all these games. But as you talked about kicking the field goal there, when you got to score a touchdown anyway, well, if you're going to turn it over on downs, turn it over at the 8-yard line. You're going to turn it over at the 30, have to go 50 yards. It just didn't make any. I didn't understand that call at all. But the worst, Bill, to give up a touchdown at the end of the first half with 8 seconds to go, when the basic rule of football, situational football, you don't get yourself beat over the top in that situation. And how King let that touchdown pass get away, that's a backbreaker to give up 7 there instead of 3. That's just demoralizing to a team.
Gary, you're right. And look, the defense and the coordinator, the entire defensive apparatus of the Packers deserves the blame. Brady said something yesterday after the game that sounds like hot garbage, but I'm done not liking Tom Brady. Doesn't change anything about Tom Brady. That he's the best of all time. I read a great thing this weekend before the game. It was 12 secrets of Tom Brady's success you can take to the business world. It's like on my phone. And one of the things that it pointed out, I thought was really interesting, was the power of false humility. How everyone knows Brady's amazing and arrogant and conceited and driven and ambitious and obsessed with success, but he pretends to share it. And the pretending is an act that builds a culture in a way that Aaron Rodgers doesn't necessarily. Right? Had the Bucs lost, Brady would have come out and pretended it was his fault. No matter what happened. And it's the pretending that matters. And Brady pretended yesterday, it's a team sport and just, it's the ultimate team sport. I'm just blessed to be part of it. That's literally basically what he said. He doesn't think that. He's like, I'm the man. Came down to these losers and showed them how to win. But he said it. And there's truth in it. It is a team sport. You're right. You can't get beat over the top with a second left on the clock or whatever the hell it was at the end of the first half for a touchdown. But Aaron Rodgers has to know you're not playing Jared Goff over there, okay? That ain't Chad Henne. It's Tom Brady. Don't give him the football back. This isn't rocket science. 3 times Rodgers and the Packers, which means Rodgers had the ball in the fourth quarter. And 3 times he failed to score. Yes, kicking the field goal was an absolute aberration, and it was awful, and it was a terrible decision, and Matt LaFleur should be criticized to high heaven. And while I think it's a little much to call for his head, it's not that much, since clearly Aaron Rodgers intended that kind of conversation to happen when he came out and said, I don't know what my future holds. Can you imagine you're driving around with your wife and you're like getting a little car wreck her parents call on speaker and like, you okay? She goes, I don't know. Yeah, we're okay. In terms of the marriage, I just don't know what the future holds. I'm like, what? Huh? That's not a small comment. What do you mean you know what the future holds? What are you talking about, A-Rod? All right. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Myrtle Beach. Richard, what up, buddy? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill, real quick. I used to listen to you when you're on from 6 to 10 at night. And I'll never forget the night that you came on and said, well, tomorrow night's going to be my last night. And I said, is CBS crazy? They got the best sportscaster with the most enthusiasm, and they're taking them off. But anyway, I'm not looking forward to this 2 weeks to the Super Bowl because everything's going to be about Tom Brady. He did this. He did that. What have you. Well, let me tell you something. Kansas City's going to win this game. And I'll take Patrick Mahomes over Brady any day. I mean, Mahomes yesterday throws a touchdown pass underhanded. Really? So I like Kansas City by at least 10, and I don't want to hear for 2 weeks about Tom Brady. And Mahomes, I'll take him over Brady right now. And Tampa Bay is going to meet their match when they come up against Kansas City.
Richard, appreciate you, buddy. I love the kind words. Thank you. I got good news and bad news for you on that call. Bad news, you're going to hear a lot of Tom Brady talk. You're going to hear a lot, even from me. Good news, you are correct. The Chiefs are going to win that game by at least 2 touchdowns. I think they're going to smoke Tampa Bay. Smoke them, which means, trust me, which means Bogus is taking the Bucks. Another lost bet for Bogus coming up. I don't know if that's true. He and the whisper phone. I haven't heard the whisper phone in a while. You can just see things have gone a little south. Whisper phone's working on the album instead of giving the picks. By the way, thank you, Richard, for the very nice words. To be fair to CBS Sports, don't blame them for the year I was away and not doing nights. Blame big CBS. They hired me. It's a business. They made me an offer. I couldn't refuse. That's a terrible Godfather. Let's just move on from it. And CBS Sports Radio was gracious enough to find room for me during the day where I'm able to do radio. So I appreciate the kind words. I don't like Brady. I don't dislike him. He's smug and he's arrogant and, you know, I think he played a football, whatever. Go through the whole thing. The guy's the best ever. He's the best. It's not even close. Can Mahomes track him down? No idea. I mean, it's like talking about whether or not LeBron can chase down Jordan after LeBron's first championship in Miami. It's a worthy thing to speculate about, but we're so far away, you can't actually know the answer. The talent is massive enough, and the success is early enough. It's a really interesting and worthy conversation, but we can't know the answer. Not yet. Health, luck, focus, teams adjusting, all that. But in this case, the Jordan character, Tom Brady, is still going strong. I think the Chiefs are going to dominate strong. No, I do. I think they're going to beat the Bucs handily. Losing Eric Fisher is significant. The Bucs' pass rush was really, really impressive. There's 2 weeks to prepare. There's a lot. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned these guys' name, and shame on me. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce combined for almost 300 receiving yards. I mean, they just went underneath to Kelce again and again and again and again and again. It was easy. And that's the problem. And by the way, Hardman gave away a touchdown at the very beginning of that game on that fumble. Tyreek Hill dropped a deep pass on the left side, perfectly thrown. He just dropped it. That would have put the Chiefs, I think, the 30 or somewhere in that range. They would have eventually scored. That was the first punt because of that drop that the Chiefs have had in the postseason going back to, I think, last year's Super Bowl. The Chiefs didn't even play that well. They didn't run the ball at all successfully. I'm with you. I think the Chiefs are going to win. We'll see, though. I mean, I've been betting on Brady every single week. This is where I think that comes to an end, but nothing would shock me. All right, 855-212-4-CBS. Andrew Bogish, happy Monday.
Is it?
Is it, though? Why wouldn't it be? What's wrong?
Well, for some of the reasons you just laid out, one of them being that Tom Brady is in another Super Bowl.
He's back, buddy.
He never left.
Can't bet with your heart. You got to bet with your head, Bogish.
No, I thought I was betting with my head. In fact, the odd thing about that game yesterday is a lot of the things that I thought would happen that would let the Packers win happened, and they still didn't win. He threw 3 picks on 3 consecutive possessions, and they somehow didn't score enough points off of that to win that game.
Amazing. Yeah, because Aaron Rodgers can't do it. I mean, and we'll hit that later. I want to be clear. It's really hard. I mean, it's really the standard at which we judge all-time greatness is ridiculously insane. I mean, you have to be the 1% of the 1% of the 1% of the 1% just to play in the league, right? Just to be some guy that everyone says sucks. Chad Henne is so massively talented at what he does for a living, and he's not important in the scheme. So I understand, but you know, that's the standard. That's your Aaron Rodgers. The guy has not had the kind of success in those games he needs to relative to his talent.
Right. I mean, and it's clearly not all of his fault, but I mean, he was completely involved in them losing last night. He did not play a perfect game and got you know, let down by the rest of the other 52 guys. He didn't play well enough by himself with all the other problems mixed in, and that's why they lost.
I'll say this in Brady's defense. The last interception, the one that went off Evan's fingers, was not a great throw, but could have been caught. But the play before that, because people talk about Aaron Rodgers, the guys had drops. The drops for Rodgers were early in the game for the Packers. Mike Evans, the play before that third pick, dropped a ball that would have been for a deep, long, huge first down. Basically would have sealed, would have basically sealed the game. Got them in field goal range. They would have run the football. Fournette was a beast when they got into the red zone. The first interception on third down, they got right at Brady. The running back couldn't pick up the guy that was blitzing. So it was, I think, an intentional, I'm just going to throw the ball up again to Evans. And it was intercepted. It was basically a punt. Now the middle interception was awful. It was second down. He got pressured again. But my point is, yeah, there were three interceptions, absolutely. But I think there's some situational realities there that you have to look at. I understand how they happened. I don't understand what Aaron Rodgers was doing at the end of the first half. I mean, that led directly to a 7-point differential. You have to not just be great. You have to be effective in the moments, in the margins that matter the most.
Yeah, they should have scored a touchdown before their field goal in the second quarter. I don't know why they were going so slow in that 2-minute drill. And then which might have been pass interference. Sure, there's that as well. And then the miscue on defense to let Scotty Miller score. I mean, it was just a disaster of like a 3 minutes for them.
I got to tell you, it's really fun watching these games when you have money on them and it goes well. My buddy Reed asked me why I was getting these picks in the NFL. And I'm like, I have won 17 of my last 19 NBA bets on CBS Sports HQ. So I'm on fire. And I go, I have a theory. It's super arrogant. And I wrote it to him. He's like, oh, I buy that. And I wrote back, no, bro, I'm just getting lucky. I'm just giving it. I don't have a beautiful mind. I'm just getting lucky. But I'll take it, Bogus. I will take it. I know you're not a Brady fan, but you did predict the 40 touchdown season exactly. Like, you and Brady were simpatico. You guys were in a zone together.
Yeah. It's like 50-50 right now. I am going to be completely impressed by the fact that he won again. He's in another Super Bowl for the next, whatever it is, 13 days. But like yesterday, when the game starts, I will not want him to win. Like, I was almost a full-on Packer fan yesterday for four quarters, feeling like an actual one is that it was crumbling. So like right now, I'll say nothing but good things. It makes completely no sense that this guy at 43 is doing this. But whatever kickoff is on from two Sundays from now, I am all in on Mahomes and whoever needs to make sure that he doesn't win again.
Andrew Bogus, I can see you on Skype and I can say this. You look so miserable that the Bucks won that I'm a little worried that you literally bet the mortgage and tomorrow you'll be Skyping from an alley.
No. We're good. We're good on that front. I mean, it was not a good weekend in general, but it was not a financially crippling one.
I don't like Brady. I just recognize that guys I don't like are going to be amazing in what they do for a living. That's just, right. I'm in awe of him. I'm just in awe of him. It's amazing.
Yeah, because it shouldn't be happening.
Shouldn't.
And it happened.
Who was it? It wasn't Richard of Myrtle Beach. It was our buddy who called from Jacksonville. I had the same deal with the devil thought, right? Like, you don't want to joke about that too much, especially those of us that are Catholic and live with Catholic guilt all the time. But, you know, there's something. There are some reasons to think that maybe, okay, I'm going to go there. I'm just going to go there. That we're in a simulation, right? There's all these weird things that have been happening that make you wonder if we're not in a simulation. They're not just messing with us. And this is like one of them. Like, right? Like, let's turn up the Tom Brady dial and just see if it breaks the matrix. You know, like, are we going to realize we're in a simulation when he wins Super Bowl at 62? Is that when it's going to hit us that this isn't real?
I think the proof of your argument is that picture from the combine where he's standing in front of that like marker board and he's a dumpy, completely unrefined, goofy haircut Michigan quarterback who deserved to get picked at 199. And fast forward three decades, he's like model handsome. He's ripped. He's eating avocado ice cream and he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
He's married to a supermodel who's richer than he is.
Right. Who loves the you-know-what out of him, too.
Oh,
she defends him all the time. I mean, like, she's all in.
I at the Super Bowl he lost against the Giants in Indianapolis. Would that have been 2011 or 12? Somewhere.
That's the second one, yeah.
Somewhere in that range. I was like the number six columnist at FoxSports.com, right? So I got the, and nobody, by the way, this is like 10 years ago. Nobody wanted to write about Brady. Brady was boring. So like every game I would get sort of whatever is left over. There were five columns ahead of me. I can name them right now. Nobody want, like, you know, first the top guy gives what he's going to get to me. I'm like, no, I'll write about Brady. So I followed Brady around and his wife, whose name I can never, is it Giselle?
Yes. Gazelle? No, no, she's not an animal.
I'm going to call her Gazelle, because then I'll just... Gazelle. Like, she followed him everywhere. She stared at him with this, like, burning love. And as reporters asked difficult questions, I stood next to her. Like, she just, like, radiated, like, I will... She looked like a menacing Secret Service agent. She just... You're right. She's in. She is focused on her man. I think I wrote
good
that
for the both of them.
Brady Arrow might be coming to an end. That was not a good column. That column did not age well. Thank you, Eli. Thank you, buddy. All right. We went a little long here because we're excited, because we're emotional, because Tom Brady's back. But don't worry, Bogus. I think Mahomes is going to ride to the rescue of all of those Brady haters out there. Did other things even happen? Is there anything else going on in the world other than football?
Yeah, there were a few things that happened yesterday. It's all sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. First, a quick recap. If somehow you don't know what happened yesterday at football, the Packers losing at home to Tom Brady and those Buccaneers 31-26. Then the Chiefs took care of the Bills 38-24 in the AFC title game. Patrick Mahomes looked fine, 325 yards and 3 scores despite turf toe and whatever injury he suffered head and neck last weekend. The bad news for KC is that left tackle Eric Fisher suffered a reported torn Achilles in this game yesterday, which means the Chiefs will be missing both starting tackles in the Super Bowl. Tight end Greg Olsen retired yesterday. The Chargers are reportedly hiring Broncos secondary coach Ronaldo Hill as defensive coordinator, and the Eagles said to be hiring Shane Steichen as their OC. He worked with new head coach Nick Sirianni with the Chargers. There was NBA basketball last night. Damian Lillard with 39 on 6 threes. His Blazers held off the Knicks 116-113 after leading by as many as 25. And Giannis had 27 with 14 boards and 8 assists to lead the Bucks past the Hawks 129-115. The Grizzlies have had a fourth consecutive game postponed because of COVID. They will not play the Bulls on Wednesday night. The Washington Nationals reportedly signing veteran lefty reliever Brad Hand to a one-year $10.5 million deal, and the Yankees send 4 minor leaguers to Pittsburgh for starter Jameson Taillon. And across the Atlantic, some major soccer news today. Frank Lampard is out as Chelsea manager, reportedly replaced by former PSG manager Thomas Tuchel. Lampard kept Chelsea in the Champions League last season, but has dropped 5 of its last 8 Premier League matches. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, thank you, buddy. Very quickly, we do have a request. It's directed in many ways at you from J. Matt Penn on Twitter, tweets at SportsWriter, hey, Bill, instead of whisper phone, Pat Mahomes, he's earned being immortalized in a new writer, the new jingle. It would go immediately as my new ringtone. So if you can just, I know you have a lot going on with the whisper phone Valentine's Day album. I don't know how to do a Mahomes jingle, but if you can work that in, just let me know. No pressure or request.
We'll get back to you midweek.
At Andrew Bogish on Twitter. All right, we'll take some phone calls, 855-212-4CBS. We could be unified in our hatred, but I think our awe for Tom Brady together. Next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Right, welcome back into the show. Let's take some phone calls. 855-212-4CBS. Man. Let me just say this real quick. One of the characteristics, one of the consequences of playing against LeBron, playing against Mike, playing against Federer, asked Andy Roddick, the GOAT, whoever the GOAT happens to be, is that it destroys other careers relative to what they should have been. Just does. Fair, not fair. It's not. Talk to Karl Malone about fair, please. People don't even consider Malone a top 15 player of all time. Tom Brady just destroyed Aaron Rodgers' career in terms of how it's viewed after a single season in the NFC. Love him, hate him, whatever. It's the best to ever do it. And what's amazing is the only legitimate challenger, the LeBron, really, like you're not supposed to be this good this quick. You're not supposed to win championships this soon. Mahomes isn't supposed to be able to come in and fix Andy Reid's inability to win big games. The guy that's his threat historically is his threat 13 days from now for Super Bowl 55. We're in a simulation. I mean, more evidence. Romo just keeps doing psychic things. More evidence. I have a radio show. 10 years ago, I was writing obits at the Kansas City Star because they demoted me. Obits in the newsroom. What is happening here? 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Let's go to Andrew in Edmonton. Andrew, what up, dude? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning, Bill. And Tom the Apostle Brady, I think it's time he gets Wayne the Great One Gretzky treatment. I think it's time the second he decides to retire come March, instant Hall of Fame, no vote, no questions asked. They probably already have the ring and bust made for him. Let's just, it's done. It's easy. Wayne Gretzky, obviously, as we know, was the greatest hockey player ever. It's not even a debate anymore if Tom Brady's the greatest football player ever. Let's just instantly put him in. We don't need to waste people's time. When it comes to this weekend, Tom Brady's not losing at home. That's just a fact. How can you bet against him?
And that is a great call. Oh, dude, you know what? I trigger-fingered you. It's the second one on the show. I got Andrew, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Trigger, I got so excited. I pulled in Aaron Rodgers. Threw it a little too jittery. That is a great call about Brady. Just the minute he retires, he's in the Hall of Fame. Then he'll unretire and be the only player to ever be in the Hall of Fame and still play, like 46, and then win another one, just obnoxiously. When the Jets don't go get Deshaun Watson and win four games the next 3 years, so unretire at 47 and just lead them to a Super Bowl. So the early lines, I haven't seen today's lines. Yesterday, at the moment the game got done, the opening line was Chiefs -3.5. Chiefs is 3.5-point favorites. I hear you. And it is really interesting. It's the first time that a team's ever played in their home stadium. And it's the irony being it's not going to have that big of an impact. It's not a normal year. Now, there's a counter argument that the few tickets they're going to give out are more likely to go to Bucks fans because people are probably less inclined to travel. Maybe the percentage will be higher, but it's not going to feel like a home game. And you're going to have a high percentage, and I love this about the NFL, of vaccinated healthcare workers who are there, who are just going to be thrilled to be there, right? But aren't going to be like screaming, red meat, blood-curdling cries of let's do this for Tampa Bay. But you're right. And not only that, they're the home team. They're just, the NFC is the home team. So they get their locker room. They get to choose their it'll feel like a home game. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Buffalo. Great season, tough game for Buffalo. David in Buffalo, thank you for listening, buddy. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill, appreciate you having me on this morning, man. Yeah, I just want to jump in and talk about the game from last night. You know, as a Bills fan, that was a tough game to watch, but I'll tell you this. You know, you got to tip your cap to Kansas City. They've got the best quarterback, you know, their tight end, their receivers, and their defense came to play last night. I mean, Diggs and Beasley, John Brown, those guys couldn't get open all night, and the offensive line got their ass kicked. It's that simple. So, you know, Kansas City was the better team, and I'll tell you one thing, as long as there's no egos or, you know, anything going on where guys want to move on and get paid more, that could be a dynasty in the making because of Mahomes and Andy Reid and the way they can beat teams different ways. You know, it's not just the Bills took away the over-the-top stuff. They dumped it underneath all night, and it was tough to watch because they're just that good. It's kind of like Tiger back in the day. Whenever he showed up at a major, you didn't know what, you know, even if his game wasn't at the level you expected it to be, he was still the guy to beat. So appreciate the time, man. And the Bills will be back, but the Chiefs are just a better team right now.
David, appreciate your great call. You remind me of something I wanted to bring up about that Chiefs defense. And again, another reason I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Bucks. The Chiefs showed yesterday they're capable of shutting down elite receivers or an elite receiver and a great secondary receiver. I mean, Beasley's great. And Bills fans know. They've watched all year. And Stephon Diggs is elite. And the Chiefs, for the most part, especially in Diggs' case, just took him out of the game. So that is not a guarantee they can do it against Tampa Bay, but it means that they're capable of doing it. And I want to say this about the Bills, and we got a bunch of calls coming in, 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take them. Keep calling. Stick with us. You want to join the conversation, 855-212-4CBS. I love that Bills team. I love what they've built. Allen's been amazing this year. Not amazing yesterday. And maybe it's a momentary lapse. I don't actually know. I didn't love the way it ended. I didn't love the chippiness. I didn't love losing your cool. And it wasn't one guy, right? It was a big chunk of the team and the quarterback not finding a way to just control their emotions when the season was over. I know it happens. It doesn't bode well. Now, the counter argument is they did the same thing last year, and they made an AFC Championship game. But to me, it just makes me a little nervous. But you're right. Amazing season for Buffalo. Amazing season for Josh Allen. And this wasn't the end of the road. This is part of the process if things continue the way they have.
All right, 855-212-4CBS. More of your calls, more NFL talk next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you. Happy Monday. Appreciate you. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and info for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. We're going to talk football the entire show. I don't, though, want things that are worthy or those that need to be criticized to feel like they can escape what's coming under the glow and shadow of the AFC and NFC championship game. So, Coach K, wherever you are in your hypocritically laden reality bubble, we saw you go after a college student over the weekend. We saw you take your frustrations out on your own ability to be good at your job this year on some kid. And we know how you would have acted and responded if someone like me had brought a fraction of that condescension to one of your student athletes. And so we got you. We're coming for you. We're talking about you in a truthful way. Tomorrow, you deserve it. Just put it on the back burner. Coach K4 should know better. Come on, man. Not going to do it today. Too much football going on. But come on, man. Phone number here is 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, if you want to hit me up there, Sports Writer, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Already got a request for a whisper phone type Patrick Mahomes jingle. We got to think about it. We got a whisper phone to work on it. It's one thing to do like a jingle to Christmas music, but Mahomes, a whole other level of iconic greatness. Can't screw that up. So a lot of things to get into. I want to start with these thoughts. Obviously, yesterday, Tampa Bay shouldn't have been an upset, but upset the Packers 31-26 in that NFC Championship game at Lambeau. And while the stats tell one tale, the tape tells another. Tom Brady made the big plays when he had to. End of the first half, the ability, including on a pass interference call, to run out the clock at the end of the game, and Aaron Rodgers didn't. Threw the interception that led to the first half touchdown, and more importantly, had three opportunities in the fourth quarter to score, couldn't bring it home. And in a bizarro, terrible decision, Matt LaFleur decided at 4th and 8, with a couple minutes left, down 8, to kick a field goal. And do you ever have those moments where you're watching a game, right, and you feel like me, you think you know the sport really well, and something happens and you think, I'm obviously not very bright because I can't figure out what I'm missing here? Like I literally started to pull my phone out. I'm like, wait, no, I can subtract 3 from 8. The iPhone calculator's not gonna, what is happening? Am I missing something? What's going on? And then on the other side of things, Kansas City really dominated the Bills. 38-24, but remember, Buffalo had an opening drive and got a field goal, and then on the Chiefs' initial punt return, Chiefs fumbled the ball, basically the 1-yard line, Bills punch it in, 10-0. I told a buddy who was freaking out. He parlayed my gambling picks. I was on Tampa Bay and the Chiefs, and he teased the Chiefs all the way to 7.5. And I wrote, I'm like, why did you do that? He goes, you said they were going to win by 14 on the radio. I'm like, yeah. I didn't say bet it, but he's smarter than I am. He teased it to 7.5 on a parlay. And got down 10-0. And the Chiefs came roaring back. Dominating performance. Mahomes, 29-38. 325 passing yards. 3 touchdowns. And just underneath, and then hit Tyreek Hill for a couple huge plays. Some of those Andy Reid trick plays that we've seen before. What do they call it? Fresh sausage, I think is one of them. Something like that. Little underhand shuffle pass thing. Is that how it's described? Underhand shuffle pass thing. Man, the Chiefs are so good. They didn't play that well. They didn't even play that well. The defense did. That's not entirely true. I thought the defense was really impressive and really effective. But they gave away on that Hardman fumble the touchdown. Tyreek Hill dropped a big play pass at the early part of the game.
Chiefs are so good, man. And by the way, the Buffalo Bills weren't some also-ran, right? It's not like they kind of got there, like the Portland Trailblazers in the NBA, Western Conference Finals a couple years ago, where it's like, yeah, good job, but you're not really a competitor. The Bills, I think, were clearly the second-best team in the AFC and proved that in a postseason. And they just got owned by Kansas City. Not through any fault necessarily of their own. I mean, other than the fact that I guess it is your responsibility not to be bested by a team, even if they're superior. And Josh Allen could have been better, but I think it's what you would expect from Josh Allen in that game. He wasn't great. What's funny is watching Josh Allen in that game was like watching Josh Allen a season and a half ago. You saw the talent. You saw the arm. You saw some of the throws. You're like, wow. You saw his ability to get out and run, right? When he, like, that is a big dude moving very quickly. He just couldn't be consistent in his greatness. And having seen him work through that process in the regular season, I think it stands to reason he was going to have to work through that process in a game like this. Doesn't mean he will, but it certainly means he can. But the notion he was going to come in and play like the third best quarterback in the National Football League was unlikely. A lot of people thought Josh Allen was going to play better than Tom Brady, and better is relative. In the regular season, we're trying to look at stats and the totality of, you know, four touchdowns or two interceptions and what that adds up to. In the playoffs, it's different. It's a singular war for your life. And it isn't about how it looks. It's about how you can win ugly. Win ugly. I mean, Brady won ugly. Rodgers lost pretty. That's why Brady's the best. Whatever he needs to do, he gets done. And now you've got a showdown in Mahomes and Brady. That's about a lot of, it's about a lot of things. A lot of things are going to be at play. Can the Bucs pressure Mahomes the way that they pressured Aaron Rodgers? Aaron Rodgers was hurried, rushed, sacked, knocked down, was under duress 22 times in that game. Give the Bucs defensive line in particular credit. That's the most of Aaron Rodgers' career. Can they do that to Mahomes? And counterpoint, doesn't matter. I mean, how many times have we seen Patrick Mahomes? Not a guarantee. But Mahomes do a figure eight, run in seven circles, do three backflips for fun, and then throw a 50-yard strike left-handed or whatever the hell it is to get out of trouble. And the guy's ridiculous. Can the Chiefs, and they did this against the Bills, can they shut down effectively Tampa Bay's receivers? Can they take, for example, Evans out of the game? Maybe. We saw they could do it against Diggs and company with Buffalo. Can Tom Brady reduce those mistakes? You can, and this is true, just try it on for size, you can make those mistakes against Aaron Rodgers and still win the game. Literally, we just saw it. Not being facetious, taking shots. You can't make those mistakes against Patrick Mahomes. You so can't make those mistakes, the Chiefs can literally spot you 10 points and still beat you by several touchdowns. So can Brady reduce those mistakes? Can the Chiefs mix in a run game that's even a little bit effective? The Chiefs' run game is like the Chiefs' defense last year. It doesn't have to be great for them to win. It actually can be terrible and have them win. But if it can offer a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit, it makes them borderline unbeatable. Can the Chiefs run the ball a little bit? Everything for the Chiefs in their offensive line is going to be more difficult with Eric Fisher going down. That is the heart and soul of the Chiefs O-line. It just is. It's going to be a fascinating game. And left in the dust are interesting questions. You've got the Buffalo Bills. And the fact that the future is bright but not guaranteed. The future is bright for the Titans too, right? Titans were here last year. I mean, you could close your eyes and be like, oh, Titans were up 21 points a year ago. They couldn't hold the lead, but they're going to get back. It's hard to get back. Now, the difference is, with all respect to Ryan Tannehill, Josh Allen has the potential to be a game changer because we've seen him change games up until that point. And with all respect to the Chiefs defense, because they played really well, and Spags, and it was Brady Papinga who first walked me and us through this a year and a half ago on the show here, Ryder Than You, Bill Ryder with you, what's going on CBS Sports Radio, when Brady Papinga walked us through it when we were on in evenings, how Spags defenses get better as the season goes on. because of the complicated nature of what he does and his ability and really just his tendency as a coordinator to better grasp his own pieces and parts and players as the season goes on. So I'm not taking anything away from the Chiefs defense, but Josh Allen wasn't able to really step up and take control of that game, to say the least. Tom Brady did, whatever the hell the stats say. And remember, Tom Brady was so good early in that game. The Bucs were so good that they ran out to a huge lead on the Packers. That puts pressure on every aspect of the team. Even as the Packers chipped away and chipped away and the momentum felt like it was shifting, it left no margin for error whatsoever. It's going to be a really interesting test for the Chiefs defense to not let Brady and the Bucs get early momentum. The Chiefs always start slow. They do. It's weird. They don't put their foot on the pedal. I think the Chiefs can get down 10 or 14 to the Bucs and still win, but I'm not going to be sure of it the way I was Buffalo. So it's going to be a really interesting match and really interesting showdown. And what Buffalo becomes remains to be seen. And then there's Aaron Rodgers. I've waited to say this because I didn't want to make it about Rodgers, even though he made it about himself. But let me just give you the facts as they are. Aaron Rodgers did not successfully bring his team that W. The end. Aaron Rodgers had a couple minutes at the end of the first half to lead his team down the field and score a touchdown. Is that easy to do? Is it a guarantee to do? No, it's not. That's why it's hard to be the best of all time. Tom Brady had 18 seconds or whatever the hell it was to do it. Did he lead his team down the field? Yes, he did. The end. Blown coverage and whatever. The end. One is the GOAT and the other should be Campy. That's it. That's where we're at. That's where we've been at for 10 years. Then in the fourth, and I'm not dismissing the absurdity of Matt LaFleur's decision to kick the field goal at 4th and 8, down 8, not much time left in the game, and to give the ball back to Tom Brady. It was awful. Coaches can learn to overcome their frailties, their insecurities, their panic, their shortcomings in the playoffs. It took Andy Reid a generation to do that. But Andy Reid's quarterback of promise was to come, it turned out. You really think the Packers are going to get a third generational talent? It's a different deal. Matt LaFleur knew this when he took the job. It's like dog years. Every year you don't succeed, whatever the reason, doesn't matter the reason, with Aaron Rodgers, is 3 or 4 or 5 years somewhere else because the window's closing. Now, I didn't know the window was going to close so soon. Aaron Rodgers had the ball 3 times in the Packers offense in the fourth quarter and didn't get it done, didn't score. That's not greatness. Think about if it were Josh Allen. The narrative would be, oh, Josh Allen had the Bills had the ball 3 times and had a chance, and you know, they were one possession and they cut but Allen couldn't do it. Where's that talk on A-Rod? What's all this Twitter tough guys? Anyone who says that Aaron Rodgers is a fault an idiot. Cool. Good story. Awesome. No. My read of this, my perspective, is that Matt LaFleur choked, and it's not acceptable, but he choked because Aaron Rodgers spread panic through that team. There were some bad drops. I don't have any evidence for this. But it just felt like Aaron Rodgers wasn't leading his guys. He was spreading his own fear. Thought it throughout the game. And then afterwards, listen to this. Just think about your season's come to an end. You're under contract for a couple more years. You're the leader of a football team. Today's headlines across the sports world, and really on this show, should be Mahomes, Brady, whatever it is. And Aaron Rodgers makes it about his future because he decided to go out there and act as if he's a free agent in 3 weeks.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
Yeah.
The uncertainty is tough now that you've introduced it into the conversation. And please, don't give me the "it's a tough moment." The standard when you lose a big game is excellence notwithstanding. I love Cam. I crushed Cam years ago after he acted like a petulant man-child when he lost in that Super Bowl. How is Aaron Rodgers any different? Because he thanked the media instead of storming away? Same thing. Not as successful. At least Cam made a freaking Super Bowl in that case. No. No. And the point I made then was I've seen guys lose graciously. I've seen Brady do it. I've seen Breeze do it. I saw a couple years ago because of a coin flip. Mahomes do it. He should be going for three in a row. Coin goes heads, not tails at Arrowhead. Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers doesn't get a pass. You know your words. You know what you're saying. You know the power of them. Get out of here. I can't give you an explanation for what Aaron Rodgers is doing other than whatever he's doing is about Aaron Rodgers. And that doesn't usually add up to success for a football team. And neither has, coincidentally or otherwise, Aaron Rodgers' career since he beat the Bears, what, a decade ago. I mean, beating the Bears for a Super Bowl, I mean, it counts. I know. It was to get to a Super Bowl. I understand. I got it. I know who's in the NFC. I got it. Gotta hate Jay Cutler. Oh, I beat Jay Cutler. Cool. Congratulations. Way to go. It's basically a bye. Aaron Rodgers, man. Talented. I am an Aaron Rodgers fan. If you listen to the show, you know I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. I'm not even a Tom Brady fan. Scoreboard. All right, 855-212-4CBS. Dustin in Arkansas. Love Arkansas. What's up, pal? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Coming from a diehard Chiefs fan, I'm not going to take anything away from Pat. I'm not going to take anything away from Trav or Tyreek, but I think for us to go ahead and put this thing away, Byron Pringle is going to have to step up and play big, especially with Sammy out. And he did last night. I thought Byron played a really good game last night. He was a really key piece to it. But what's your thoughts on that? And what's your thoughts on Sammy? You think he'll be back?
I'm with you. Pringle was great. Yeah, thanks for the call, Dustin. Appreciate you in Arkansas. Yeah, I mean, you got a couple weeks. They were not optimistic, but they were hoping Sammy might be able to get out there, Sammy Watkins. He'll play in two weeks. Pringle looked really good. And by the way, I'll say this too, to your point about it being a team effort. I thought on a couple plays, and one turned into a touchdown, they intentionally went to Hardman a few times just to make sure his confidence was there. They need weapons. I looked this morning. I could be getting it wrong. I don't have the box score up. I think Hardman just had two receptions for like 4 yards. One of them was for a touchdown. I'm getting the thumbs up that is correct. But he had a 50-yard run. And they went to him several times. They looked for him several times on a screen and some other things. And to your point about it being a team effort, that's because they're actually a team. And that's one of the things that I think is worth saying. In fact, we'll do it on the other side. The secret sauce to the Chiefs' success is the exact opposite of what you saw in Green Bay. It's next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Oh, welcome back into the show on Sunday, February 7th, less than 2 weeks from now. Join CBS for the biggest event in 2021. The Chiefs take on the Buccaneers at Super Bowl 55. Coverage begins at 2 Eastern, 11 Pacific. The Super Bowl today leading up to kickoff at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. February 7th, Super Bowl 55 is on CBS. One of the things that you can see from the Chiefs, I think it's real. It's secret sauce. Not that secret. I don't think we give credence enough to the things that aren't tangible X's and O's excellence. But they like each other. They love each other. I mean, Kelsey, and I have a little bit of insight into this because on the HQ TV show I hosted for a couple of years, we had a lot of guests on. I think we had Travis Kelsey on like 5 times. It became a mainstay. It felt like he was on every other week. And his eyes lit up when he asked about Patrick Mahomes. They really did. There's a joy there. There's a connectedness. There was a moment where Andy Reid went over and basically like gave an arm around half man hug to Eric Fisher when Fisher went down. And there was a moment when Travis Kelce was celebrating a Tyreek Hill reception. And then there was a moment where Kelce, on that all-out blitz on the goal line from Buffalo, where Mahomes threw a moonshot over the line, basically, a lob, an alley-oop, and Kelce caught it. I think it was Hardman behind him. And just the look on their faces, the celebration, the joy, how much, not just that they'd score, but just the sense they were in this thing together. They looked like a team. I didn't see that from the Packers. Even when things went well, it didn't feel like there was the same connectedness. These things matter. There's a confidence that comes from Mahomes, and I've talked about this. There's an air. It's not arrogance. You know how some people are just, there's various levels of charming, right? There's various levels of likability. Do you know how some people are just so charming, it's hard to even put your arm, like, why can't I be like that? Why can't my salesman or my, I mean, some people just have it, right? Mahomes has something similar in the sense that he has this swagger, this overwhelming confidence that in anyone else would be arrogance, but it's likable. It's just likable. And I think that's a huge part of what goes on there. Because those guys believe in him. They believe in him 100%, but they don't dislike him. They're not put out when he goes to correct them. You've seen a little bit in Tampa Bay when Brady goes and probably properly lectures his receivers for running the wrong route or try to talk to him. They're a little put out. You've certainly seen it with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. It's different with Mahomes. That is a team that really actually love playing together. That stuff matters. That stuff is really, really significant. By the way, I think there's some of that in Buffalo, too. The Bills aren't advancing, obviously. They lost the game handily. I didn't love the way that thing ended. But it doesn't change the fact that's an organization that it's hard to get back. It's part of what's so insane about Brady's 10 appearances and the fact that Mahomes, again, I'm just going to say it again, should be in his third consecutive Super Bowl. Should be. 2 years ago, Arrowhead, overtime, you know how the drill. If you score a touchdown, you win the game. If you kick a field goal, the other team gets the opportunity to do their thing. If they score a touchdown, they win. But against Brady and Mahomes in that game, you just knew whoever won the coin flip was going to win the game. That's exactly what happened. It's not supposed to be that automatic. Three times in the fourth quarter of that game yesterday, in that NFC Championship game, Aaron Rodgers got the ball. And three times he couldn't score. Why is it automatic for Brady and now Mahomes? Because they're different. They're at a different level. There's a diminishment of Aaron Rodgers. It's hard to put my finger on the biggest loser from the weekend. I think you can make an argument. I wouldn't, but I think it's interesting that the way the Bills exited the playoffs, I think, is problematic. Losing their cool, pushing guys, fighting guys, Allen throwing the football, somebody's face, not a good sign. Bill Belichick's a pretty big loser. Now, we'll do this segment, I'm sure, in the coming days, maybe next week. I do think there's going to be an assessment of Belichick versus Brady. There's going to be. And we know now, whatever happens in Super Bowl 55, we know that Tom Brady can succeed at the highest levels without Bill Belichick. Let me just say this. We know that. And I think Brady deserves all the praise in the world. And I'm happy to make Bill Belichick jokes. But the truth is, we don't know on Belichick yet. Tom Brady decided to go and choose his team. He was able to find whatever team he thought was perfectly calibrated to what we just saw. He had to get it done. He had to be great, but he is the GOAT. So that meant the process could be sped up. Bill Belichick didn't do that, right? He didn't go and make himself a free agent. And so I think there's more of a three-year timeline for Bill Belichick's success. A lot of guys opted out that matter on the Patriots team. Cam Newton, I think, was a worthy gamble. But you gamblers, us gamblers, we gamblers, know that a smart bet is not necessarily a winning bet. Move all in with aces in a tournament for all the money. You're an 80% favorite, but 1 out of 5 times you're going to lose to another pocket pair. It happens. So I need more time to see the other hands that Belichick's going to play to make an assessment on his skill. I just do. Now, I will say this. A huge part of Belichick's job and what he's been credited with by me and everyone else on earth for 20 years is a large part of his success that we pointed toward as it relates to what he's done, the Patriots head coach, was the ability to assess talent that other people couldn't assess outside of his organization, let alone in, and the humility of the Patriots way that puts football first. And the Patriots did not assess Tom Brady properly, because if they had known that he was this capable still and they let him go, it's fireable, no matter who you are. They just got it wrong. It's a problem. And or, and they couldn't manage their egos and his. I mean, this happened with Mike McCarthy too. Aaron Rodgers got more successful, more difficult, more arrogant, I'm sure. It's part of the deal. And McCarthy didn't understand he had to adjust his approach. And then we know now, we saw last night, Aaron Rodgers is a fraction of what Tom Brady is. He is. We know it now. Bill Belichick needed to make it work and didn't. And that is on the hoodie. It just is. Who would have thought that the hoodie's nickname would become synonymous not with greatness, but a place to hide his shamed face? Brutal, man. I actually wonder, do you think he watched the game? Honestly. Just like, if he did, you know, he was like screaming at LaFleur, go for it! I don't think he watched. Bogus? De Benedetto? Do you really think Bill Belichick had the stomach to watch Tom Brady in that game? I don't.
I think the question is how he watched it. I think he watched it, but did he like hate watch it by himself in some kind of Belichick basement, or were there, you know, was Stevie around? And I don't, is he married to that woman, or are they just a couple? There's another woman. I don't know if
that woman,
it was a group thing and he was kind of paying attention to the game, or he was sitting there like in all sorts of self-loathing watching it, but he definitely watched the game.
I don't know, man. You could, it's like you're married to a supermodel. You break up with her. No one will date you. She has a wedding to a prince. It's on television. Are you sure you're going to watch it? Like, you might just be like, I'm going to tape it, and if things go badly, I'll go back and watch it. He might have been walking in the woods with his dog or whatever the hell he does and just, like, looked at the alerts and be like, not going to watch it. I don't know. I'm not sure he did.
I saw somebody saying on Twitter that he's, like, in an island somewhere, like he's on a vacation. I don't know whether they were kidding or whether they – but even so, I think he probably watched it. And he may be oblivious to how much – you know, how awkward it actually was.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. He's such a weird dude.
What was he?
He's the one who chased Tom out of town to begin with. I don't know.
I think he's pretty well aware.
But just think how close he was to vindication, because if that game had fallen apart completely and they lost, you know, 35-31 because he threw three picks in the second half to fuel the Packer comeback, Belichick not would have won forever, but he could have been dancing a jig today, yet Rodgers and LaFleur just let him down.
Ha-ha! We're
6-10!
He's
the real loser.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing is, yeah, that maybe, but it just... That was never going to happen. Had Rodgers completed, that's the other thing. Had Rodgers been allowed to go for it on fourth down and succeeded, which he wouldn't have, and completed the 2-point conversion, which he wouldn't have, which, by the way, Tom Brady's done before to win a Super Bowl, Tom Brady would have led them down the field and they would have kicked a field goal. They would have won the game. I mean, that it just feels inevitable.
So no matter what, you've got the Bucs winning that game, whether it was end of regulation, overtime, Brady's winning that game no matter what.
I thought it last week. Yes, 100%. Yes.
He's the Night King. I said this to Gigi last night. He's the Night King, and this is the way Game of Thrones should have ended if they, you know, knew what they were doing. The Night King wins. He wipes everybody out. The Night King is on a different trajectory than the rest of the humans. The humans, you know, they have flaws. They're going to all die one day. The Night King is just a machine.
I love Tom Brady's machine. The Night King.
Yep.
Can we redo Game of Thrones?
A lot of sense.
So does that? But if you were gonna have like, what about the Night King wiping everyone out, right? And then one character saves humanity at the end. That could be Patrick Mahomes.
I get maybe that's right. Yeah, like Patrick Mahomes is Arya with the dagger.
Back from the dead of Texas Tech. I don't know. Is that,
I hope so. At least.
Am I stretching this?
I hope Pat Mahomes is Arya. No, that'll work if he can do it. Just do it.
Who is, if Mahomes is Jon Snow, who is his dog? What was his dog's name? His dire wolf. That'd be Kelsey? His big, smart animal?
Yeah.
Follows him around and saves him?
I guess. Yeah. But Jon Snow, I mean, he didn't take down the Night King.
But I mean, I'm rewriting it.
Yeah.
I'm rewriting it, though. Eric did it. I like that scene. Everyone hated that. That was not where she drops the knife and does. What do you mean, ugh?
I I hated it. That was where it went wrong for me. The finale, the epilogue was bad. The finale wasn't so bad. The choice to kill the Night King like that was just brutal.
You hate that. I hate myself. I watched another WandaVision.
Oh, okay. Still terrible.
Now it's like in black and white, or now it's in color and it's like the 70s. And like, yeah, those of you WandaVision defenders, both of you out there, I get it. The show, there's stuff going on now. Yeah. They also showed that show is terrible. You know, like actors and actresses just like disappear from Hollywood. Like, they just get blackballed. Is anyone going to get blackballed for putting together a show like this? Like for actual reasons that are significant?
Well, I mean, again, as I evidenced by last week where I didn't know what Vision, who he was or what he was. When we watched the first episode, and my kids liked it, but they're little, what do they know? I'm looking and going, Paul Bethany? Wasn't he in really important, like dramatic movies? And now he's Vision with red paint and like robot, and I had no idea he had been in like 17 Marvel movies. But
yeah, he's good.
It looked to me like he had been blackballed, and his only way back in was WandaVision.
You would think that. How bad is that show?
It's just like what I was nervous at first that the entirety of the series was a Bewitched throwback in black and white and hokey 50s stuff.
First hour,
apparently it's not. So do I want to watch another one? But one seemed to be enough.
Saying I was worried the whole feast was going to be rancid. No, don't worry. Get through the first three courses, and then you can get the food down.
But on a positive note, we did begin watching the Marvel movies in order this week. So we watched Captain America: First Avenger on Saturday.
Wow,
it was
it's
very
good, right?
Good. Yeah. Yeah.
So which? Okay. So what? You're one in, or you're two in?
That's one in. So the list that I found was that's first. And this is the way they go, the way not the way they were released chronologically, but the way they happen chronologically.
So you're doing...
So it's that one, Captain Marvel, and then both Iron Man movies, and then I forget what comes after. Those are the first four.
You stepped into a very controversial Marvel thing, because there's two lists
yes.
out there. One is the chronological in terms of the timeline, and one right. is basically the release date with a few adjustments. And as anyone
yeah,
told
so
you,
I was going based on just how, got like, it. When they happened in reality, quote unquote.
Don't watch the Hulk, though. I mean, has anyone told you, just skip
if that's
that.
On the list, then we're going to skip that. Yeah.
Dude, you're about to experience, I think, the most successful, compelling movie franchise of all time.
Okay. I think it's 18 movies long.
It's a lot.
So it's going to be a while.
But Captain America, the First Avenger, I had zero interest in watching it. Zero interest. And I thought it was incredible.
Yeah. It was real good. I couldn't figure out how they made Chris Evans be miniature at the beginning. Like the whole first half of the movie, I'm trying to figure out the CGI of shrinking him into me.
I saw that movie years ago. I didn't know who Chris Evans was. I thought it was the other way around. I thought he was built like me and they used CGI him, you know, look like, right.
Yeah, he was backwards compatible.
Got it now. All right, I'm proud of Bogus. And notice the cricket chirping like silence of Tom mm-hmm. Star Wars won't watch Marvel to Benedetto over there. Mm-hmm. Tom's contribution to the
elitist.
Marvel talk.
Mind stupid? Closed.
Elitist. That's true. That's true. You're like that professor from Emily in Paris. Oh yeah, I went there. Terrible show. Okay, let's go.
Hey, Tom Brady is in his 10th Super Bowl because Aaron Rodgers is not in his second. The Green Bay QB helped build a 28-10 hole in the NFC title game yesterday, but then had his team in position for a TD and tying two-point conversion. But the Packers went for that field goal instead, didn't get the ball back. As you've probably heard by now, Rodgers would have done things differently.
Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but... Yeah, that wasn't my decision.
And then, after losing to the Bucs 31-26, Rodgers added more drama to their offseason by saying this.
It's a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included.
Rodgers is signed through 2023. He has cap hits of 36 and 39 mil for the next two seasons. Meanwhile, Brady and the Bucs will welcome the Chiefs to Tampa in 2 weekends. KC let Buffalo score the first 9 points yesterday, then rolled.
Edwards-Hilaire diving right side, touchdown! None touched! He ran it in. A big hole opened up on the right side. Wiley, Ryder, Remmers on there, and the Chiefs have three touchdowns in as many drives to lead 20-9.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs Radio. Casey ended up scoring on five consecutive possessions. If you subtract the kneel down before halftime, they return to the Super Bowl with a 38-24 victory. Concussion or not, plus turf toe, Patrick Mahomes looked fine. 325 yards and three scores, however. He lost starting left tackle Eric Fisher in this game to a reported torn Achilles. That means the Chiefs will not have either of their starting tackles in the Super Bowl. Some new head coaches are rounding out their staffs right now. New Eagles boss Nick Sirianni reportedly hiring former Chargers OC Shane Steichen for that same position. And new Chargers coach Brandon Staley said to be hiring Broncos secondary coach Ronaldo Hill as defensive coordinator. In the NBA last night, the Celtics routed the Cavs 141-103. Those are the most points Boston has scored at home in regulation since 1992. The Blazers outscored the Knicks 116-113. The Hawks didn't have Trae Young or Clint Capella. They lost in Milwaukee 129-115. And the Wizards lost their fifth game lost their first game in 2 weeks, 121-101 in San Antonio. After signing the injured Corey Kluber, the Yankees now gambling on righty Jameson Taillon. He comes from Pittsburgh for four minor leaguers. He's coming off his second Tommy John surgery. The Nationals reportedly signing veteran lefty reliever Brad Hand. The NHL has postponed tomorrow's Hurricanes Lightning game because of Carolina's ongoing COVID situation. And from the EPL, Chelsea has dumped manager Frank Lampard. Former PSG boss Thomas Tuchel is the reported replacement. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, I'm very excited to do the Marvel reviews going. When's the next one? When you guys got the next one up?
That's probably a weekend thing. So sometime, hopefully Friday or Saturday of this week.
Oh, so one a week. So you guys are going to basically.
I mean, that's very ambitious.
Yeah. 6 to 10 months to get them all done.
Yeah, right. There's that many of them.
All right. I'm excited for you. Oh man, wait till you get to. By the time you get to Avengers, even. Winter Soldier, you're going to be so upset. You're going to be geeked out like me. You're going to be into this thing. You're going to be wearing Captain America shirts all the time. You're going to stop taking the Whisper phone call because you're calling GameStop to see if the figures are in. I can't wait for this transition. Andrew Bogus on Twitter.
That sounds great. Can't wait.
Captain Missouri over there. Captain Jersey at Andrew Bogus on baby Twitter. Steps. Baby steps. All right, we've talked nothing but NFL. We'll hit more of that, but we'll round up some of the stories we missed from the weekend in Buy or Sell next year on CBS Sports Radio.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, so the big piece of off-the-field news from the weekend was that Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions have, quote, mutually decided to part ways. So this is a two-way street. They're both out. Even his wife announced on Instagram that it's over for him in Detroit, so it's over. He is signed through 2022. He's got cap hits of $20 million for next year and then $23 million for 2022, which of course means he will need to be traded. Buy or sell, the Lions, at least for their side of this, are right to be moving on from Matthew Stafford now.
Ooh, it's borderline, but I'm going to buy it, and here's why.
Buy.
You can certainly make a case for a rebuild and getting a return. But the fact that this guy's been this important to them, and really success is probably the wrong term, but he's been an incredibly impressive quarterback, that they can leave on good terms. It seems like that's legitimate, that they came to this conclusion together. Yeah, I think you add it all up. It's a restart. Now, it's all predicated on, have you hired the right people? And we can't evaluate that for a few years. If these are the wrong people in charge, whatever you get for this guy is not going to matter because you have to draft the right people and you have to develop them into the right culture. But presuming they didn't hire a bunch of duds, I think it makes a lot of sense.
All right, the other piece of news, three-time Pro Bowl tight end Greg Olsen announced his retirement on the Fox pregame show yesterday.
After 14 years of playing in this league, proud of what I was able to accomplish, proud of the relationships, everything that the game has given me. But sometimes when it's time, it's time. And my time in the NFL now has come to an end. I'm excited for the next chapter. I'm excited that chapter involves the Fox family and going to be working with Fox moving forward in my post-career endeavors.
So with Olsen headed to Fox and Breeze at least already signed with NBC and likely headed to the NBC booth next season, they're legit. Buy or sell that those are legitimately exciting broadcast developments for us to look forward to next season.
mildly. It's
bye.
The thing about Romo that's amazing, whether you love him, hate him, or feel somewhere in between, it's hard to be a broadcaster. It's just a very unique skill. There's no way to evaluate until people start doing it live. It's just, it's one of those weird, I was there when Fox Sports 1 launched. They brought in a lot of people that should have been amazing, big personalities, famous, Hall of Fame, all that. They just weren't good on TV, and they were good in the screen test. So you don't know until you know. I'm a little more interested in what Breeze is going to become. But yeah, it's exciting in the sense that there's the potential. But no, I don't think there's anything more uncertain and more difficult to peg than trying to figure out what famous people are going to be good on television.
Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald is reporting that the New York Jets are Deshaun Watson's preferred destination, with the Dolphins following close behind. It's apparently his strong belief in Robert Saleh, who Watson wanted the Texans to pursue, that has him so intrigued by the opportunity in New York. Buy or sell, you believe that Watson really has his sights set on the Jets?
You know what? I want to believe it, so I'll just buy it.
Bye.
I think it'd be a really interesting fit, and I think it would test and prove the reality of Deshaun Watson being a winner at any situation that's not a disaster, because you turn the Jets around and obviously you are another level leader of talent. I think he will.
The Eagles have agreed to terms with former Chargers offensive coordinator Shane Steichen as their new offensive coordinator. He was key in the development, of course, of rookie star Justin Herbert, and new coach Nick Sirianni will obviously need him to turn Carson Wentz back around. Buy or sell, the Chargers made a mistake letting Herbert's OC get away.
I gotta be honest, no.
Sell.
I mean, and this is the main reason. I guess we'll find out. And certainly, it's obviously critical who is your OC and your coach. But Herbert seems to be just an otherworldly talent who was able to make the transition to the NFL the way that he did because he's an otherworldly talent. Not taking anything away from the offensive coordinator, but if I had to guess who's the more important part of that equation, I'm gonna guess it's Herbert.
Right, and we'll end here with a tiny bit of hoops. Wednesday's Bulls-Grizzlies game has already been postponed as Memphis continues to try to get past their COVID issues. It's the Grizzlies' fifth consecutive postponed game and sixth overall this season, putting them even with the Wizards for most missed games so far. Their next attempt to get a game off will be Saturday in San Antonio. The Grizzlies are off to a 7-6 start. They were surprisingly sitting in sixth before the pause in the West. Buy or sell, the schedule crunch created by these missed games will make it nearly impossible for Memphis to stay competitive in the West over the course of the rest of the season.
I think it will, because the West is so brutal. And not only are you going to have just the normal fatigue of getting all these games on the schedule again and again and again, not only are you going to have probably injury issues, even for young guys, COVID's a thing that spreads. And the notion and the idea that there's not going to be a games, they're playing a bunch of games in a two-week period and they're missing a bunch of guys, that's still a very, very real possibility. Man, what a weekend of football. So I'm going to say this again. We didn't do it today. But tomorrow, we are going to go after a basketball coach who hasn't been successful at his job and therefore decided to pick on a college student, even though if you looked at one of his college basketball players the wrong way or asked him a difficult question, he would likely be very, very frustrated that you would dare to do that to a student athlete. So just I want you to imagine Coach K on a great big tee. We're going to get out our driver of truth, and we're going to hit him 400 yards, hoping the direction of that guy getting some kind of a clue tomorrow. Coach K, Coach K, come on, dude. What's your major? Well, hopefully it's hospitality, coach, and he can tell you how to try to work in a little graciousness into your success. Unbelievable. All right, congratulations to the Chiefs and the Bucks. We got tons of Super Bowl 55 talk for you over the next few weeks. Appreciate you listening. Thank you to Andrew Bogish. Thank you to Tom DiBenedetto. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You, and we'll see you back here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.